I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For everyone.
For a delicious duo, pick up medium avocados or large mangoes. They're great in fresh salsa and just 88 cents each with card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Who that? Who that? Hey. Hey, who that? Who that? Man, this what you been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, because now I'm getting hot enough to even want to stay in home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail to mention? Your girl is hot, a missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated, that mean my table turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, who that, that got that flame? Who that, that got that flame? Who that, that got that flame? So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, rolling right on through a Thursday. Welcome to September 17th. Got plenty going on, including a game two tonight. Got Heat versus the Celtics and light-skinned LeBron James. If game two is anything like game one, should be epic. Came down to a fantastic Bam Adebayo block on light-skinned LeBron. That's all right, though. Students, we saw them yesterday speaking passionately outside the SES board, talking about wanting to play football. That is not going to happen for them. There's no question about it. The next step, which is what we'll talk about today, seems to be how, John, can you showcase these athletes' abilities, do combines, whatever else, right, to get them some looks for the college coaches that obviously would have been looking anyway had they played a season. It's doubly tough because earlier this morning, I think Metro Nashville Public Schools announced that they're officially back. They're going to play football next Friday, so you are officially the only district now in Tennessee that isn't playing. We talked a lot about that yesterday. We'll get a little bit more into today what the next step should be. Got some Thursday night football tonight, Bengals and Browns, and John Martin coming with some recruiting news yesterday. I saw you out there. Put some eyes on it, John. I'm watching.
So
am
I to believe that Joris Ray is the only superintendent in the state of Tennessee that cares about the health of his kids? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm not telling you that.
He's the only one that cares, right? Because everybody else is playing, this is reckless. You would have to say that, and these superintendents have absolutely no regard for their students' lives, right?
You're being sarcastic. Yes.
Wow.
He's the largest district in the state. He's made that decision. We talked about it yesterday. For me, wasn't so much the decision as it is the way you knew this decision was going to be it, and you strung folks along for too long.
Right.
Today, I hear, John, that he's at. I think he's going to be at Kirby among some other stops.
So he's going to be doing,
talking to these players. About what we talked about. What do you do now? Since you can't play, right, and then we talked about the opportunity it was for many of these kids to get a look from a college coach, to get a scholarship, sort of what is the plan now?
Right.
Seems like you really should have already had one. So hopefully for those Kirby kids he's talking to today and others, he'll actually have a plan for an alternative, what you do now if you're a high school football player or fall sports in Memphis.
Well, by the way, if you're a basketball player, you should transfer too.
Just so you know.
Well, I wasn't going to go there right now, but you're absolutely right. If it's going to be the same goals of single digit and teens in terms of number of new cases over 14 days.
And maybe that's when it gets some, you know,
when the goal
attention.
When
basketball starts to get affected in Memphis?
Well, it's already got people's attention, to your point. You mean the whole city going
I'm just saying now, like,
on fire? Is that what you mean?
If you're a basketball player in a Memphis high school right now, you have to transfer if you want to play.
Again, if the requirements for getting back to school, which seem to be one of the requirements for Joris to go ahead and give the go-ahead on sports, understand that part. But if the requirements are going to be the same, we said, again, anytime soon, getting to single digits and teens and new cases doesn't feel like it. So, again, you got basketball coming up. We'll see what happens.
Yep, had a little bit of recruiting news last night, which we will get to on the show today. We had a big show planned for you today on a Thursday. John Clayton's going to join us at 11:25. We will talk to him about the NFL Week 1, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, the Titans, all of that. We got to get to. We'll do that at 11:25. At 12:25, we're going to be joined by our man, Coach Raheem.
Shabazz,
yep, absolutely.
You struggle a little bit with that name.
Because I think
you've done it before, and then you...
Napier. I get confused with Shabazz versus Shabazz, right?
Mm.
Napier was Shabazz.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Shabazz, Napier? I guess it was.
And
yeah, Shabazz.
Shabazz. I always look at Shabazz and want to say Shabazz, but... You know, I have PTSD.
We were talking about what those next steps could be for these kids. He's already got a plan.
And you know what? One time I was filling in for Eric Hasseltine many moons ago, and the UConn play-by-play man was on. I was interviewing him, and I called him Shabazz, and he corrected me. He said, "No, his name's Shabazz." And I was.
And ever since you've been scarred, when that name hits you, you just go blank.
Absolutely.
Leave it to your partner. I got you.
Shabazz is going to join us at 12:25. We will talk to him. About sort of what he's doing, how he's helping.
I think he knows a little something, too, about what you were speaking of in one of your pieces this offseason about Boogie putting on that weight.
Yes.
I think he's got some insight on that in terms of how he's looking.
Yes, so we will talk to Shabazz about all of that at 12:25. Then at 1:25, Jeff Calkins is going to hop on the show. He had an interview today with Boomer National Masks, so we will talk to him
your mask.
Mask wearing and compliance and any other PSAs you'd like to spread or pass along.
We'll talk about tacos.
Tacos, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, anything.
Sparent has got a great piece about it.
He's a real culinary, cultural just figure.
Who we love when he says delicious.
Absolutely. So Jeff's going to join us at 1:25. Anyway, it was a newsy day after we got off the show yesterday. It was a newsy day all day yesterday because Big Ten's coming back now, by the way. It looks like Pac-12 may be joining in on the fun. Now they're trying to get
on back.
Now,
will they be late to the party?
Yes, they'll be late.
So why come to the party?
Just to do it, I guess. Just to say you did it. You don't want to miss out, right? You want to get a little bit of that TV money.
But any of those guys, I mean, I guess the guys.
It would really only be for the money, though, Jason. That's the truth. That would be the only reason.
Well, and then for the players, I guess it's those guys that are on the fringe that would have something to say, okay, but not guys who are going to be drafted possibly first, second, third round, I would imagine.
Right, they're
opting out. If you're doing that. You ain't playing for anything big. But from that standpoint, I've always said that college football is the next man up. So I assume those folks that aren't on draft boards, fourth, fifth, you'll still have that. But I imagine that football is going to be pretty nasty, John.
Yeah, but it does signify that sports are really like that. I mean, everything.
Except SES fall sports. So pretty much getting everything back.
The only thing that got canceled, think about this. The only thing that got truly canceled in the wake of coronavirus was college basketball. That's it. Everything else resumed.
NBA resumed.
Or had their season, started, essentially on time. College football, even.
I guess that's true.
College basketball is the only thing that got canceled. Because the NBA came back,
Hockey resumed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Or did it start?
Did they start in the playoffs?
They resumed.
They resumed.
Yeah, okay. They resumed. The playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Their season had just kind of...
Yep, and then they did did what a lot of people thought the NBA should do, which was just, although the NBA wanted that 8-seed thing going
on. Right, right, right. So,
that's right. Went straight to it.
Yeah. Baseball started. I mean, college basketball
is about to get through.
College basketball is the only thing that really lost... their season. I mean, and they canceled, they lost conference tournament revenue, they lost March Madness revenue. Right. So
I mean, money talks, boys.
That's why we talked about they're not going to miss two straight.
That had to be a $500 million blow to them. I mean, mm-hmm. Now I know they had some insurance. They did have some, but they're not a lot. They only had probably half of that. So you lose an ungodly amount of money, which is why.
That takes care of everything else for them, right? I mean, that's where they make the majority.
Oh, yeah. That's why they had to furlough everybody in the damn building. You know, I mean, that's the reality of the business. That's the economics of it. So the fact that college basketball has now set a date is very important and very inspiring for me.
Especially around these parts.
Gets me fired up because, obviously, this is sort of, you know, what we love around these parts is college basketball. And especially for Memphis this season, you know, they got a good team. They have a very good team, we believe, a preseason top 25 team that can make some noise.
And we're just going to see if we can try to keep you calm leading into the season.
Keep me from going off the rails, huh?
Yeah. About how good this team will be.
But November 25th is the day. The Division I Council said.
Let's go.
Yesterday, after we got off the air around 5 o'clock, that November 25th is the day. No exhibitions, no scrimmages can be held before that date. Memphis has a big exhibition with Alabama. So I wonder sort of
what becomes of that.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Is it gone? I guess it is. I guess it's just totally gone. Because, you're not going to have it after November 25th, are you? You're going to get into your season. So, yeah. You're going to lose that.
I'm assuming
most
so.
Likely.
Again, maybe I would no, assume I you're going to lose that.
Yeah, because
like
you have to, you know, you got your preseason tournaments and everything like that. So I don't know. Maybe you fit it in. Maybe you don't. November 25th is the date. By that date, 76% of all D1 schools will have either finished their fall semester completely or released the general student body for in-person instruction. It was all about that sort of six-week window with everybody home, right, from December to the early part of January. They really wanted to sort of get that going in that 6 weeks. I mean, Rothstein kept calling it the golden window.
Right? Oh, he was poetic.
Yeah, he really was.
He has been. Always is, usually, but extra about the return to college basketball.
He really was. So,
we'll play that in the run.
So just to sort of get into the nuts and bolts of this, the Division I Council also changed the maximum number of games a team can play and the minimum number of games required to be considered for NCAA tournament selection. The maximum number of games was reduced by 4. Teams allowed to play 24 or 25 games plus one multiple team event. So that probably will get you to about 27, maybe 28. The minimum is now 13. So if you play 13 games, that's all you can play.
Okay, let me stop you for a second. So 27 games?
24, 25 games plus one multiple team event.
Okay, so you're talking about it could be up to 27 if you had an event like the Atlantis.
Right.
Okay, so and are we still working on the assumption that the AAC is going to go to 20?
You mean for?
20 conference games.
That was the latest report.
Right, and so you get, just subtracting here,
yeah.
What are the only four? Seven. Four non-con and then four three non-con. More in one of those events, as we're saying?
Yeah, I guess.
So that's if you're trying to save, like we talked about,
so
out of those
little,
games.
You're doing a little investigative work.
Well, I'm just trying to dig in a little bit about what we could see. We obviously are going to have to do this over the next couple of days in terms of which ones of these. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because we talked about this. If you want to save some of these, the one you clearly, if you got four non-con,
so for Atlantis,
set aside,
right?
Atlanta, well, that, you've got that event, it sounds like. You've got the ability to do that. I'm talking about the rest that were on your schedule.
Well,
like
you're
going to
lose one, it
with
like.
Auburn, Tennessee, Ole Miss, Georgia. Sounds like you only got room for three or four of those. All those little bye games go off, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. The bye games are done.
Or do you keep a couple? Because you got to assure yourself of some wins.
No, you got to play those. You got to play your Power Fives in a season like this. For your resume,
well, you're only getting 3-4 opportunities. Yeah, you go ahead and get those. Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Just talk your way through.
Well, you're losing Murray State, right?
I mean,
realistically speaking,
with everything they put into putting that together, they're gonna really just lose it.
Kick it down the road. I mean, you reschedule it for a later date, but you cannot play that game this year. I mean, you it is home, yes.
Wasn't that thing tied to with the Grizzlies game and all that? Them doing that again?
Well, yeah, but that was a pre-pandemic time, man.
I understand that, but what are you're telling me you're knocking that one off for Georgia?
Well, it's an SEC team, right?
A bad one. That one's a bad one.
Oh, I guess we're just gonna have to argue about this.
Okay. No, I mean, if you want to fight about keeping Georgia, I don't think that's gonna help your resume much.
Well,
I'm looking for ones you can toss and the four you're gonna keep.
Let me raise my hand. I don't know how good Murray State's gonna be. I mean, if you're telling me they're going to be.
But again, that one ain't just about the team being good, right? There's a tie in there, right?
Well, Ja's not going to re-sign with the Grizzlies based on the fact that they play that game.
You're not going to lose him, but if there's one you're looking at and you said, man, I like to keep. I'll take Murray State and keeping Ja happy with the Grizzlies, keeping that, than I would over Georgia without Anthony Edwards.
You don't even know if he can be in attendance for that game yet.
Oh, I have no idea. I would bet Ja going to be up in that thing. Ja was at the church hooping with everybody, all the other Memphis dudes this summer.
The health department just looked the other way on that one. They didn't want no part of that.
The health department didn't know what was going down, but we didn't end up with an outbreak,
man,
John.
Yes,
we ended up just fine.
The health department knew that thing was going on.
I can't believe we're
going
to argue over Murray State or Georgia. That's an easy one. You bump off an Anthony Edwards-less Georgia team.
Yeah, but it's Tom
and keep
Crean,
the other three SECs.
I'm looking at it from a pure SEC standard.
They may not even be a tournament team. That's what I'm talking about.
Well,
Murray's got
either.
A chance to win its conference, it usually does.
I mean, I just don't know. Like,
okay, that's fine. We agree on three that you keep.
Yes.
Right?
Auburn, Tennessee. And Ole Miss.
You're going to give me Ole Miss?
Yeah.
Okay, because I think that's a tournament team.
Yeah, I mean, we know how highly you think of Kermit Davis. You think he's one of the best to ever do it.
You go too far, no, you, fool. I disagree with you,
Colum,
and you go too far.
Dude, Colum isn't even there
he's
anymore.
He's not there anymore.
So now what?
Oh, you know who is? Now what? Matthew Morrell. You ever heard of him?
Yeah, you're right.
All right, he's a good one.
They lost one.
Their highest ranked recruit ever. That four-star, the highest they've ever gotten down.
They upgraded. So,
in basketball.
Yes, you keep Ole Miss for that.
Thank you.
You keep Ole Miss for Matthew Morrell reasons.
All right, and we'll just choke each other about Murray State and Georgia.
I mean, I can't believe you feel that. You think Ja Morant's going to leave the Grizzlies if they cancel this game?
Tom Crean come on the show a few times, and all of a sudden, he's got to be on the schedule.
Dude, Tom Crean once texted me a prayer. Yeah, he did.
I'm
good
not going to knock a man of faith like that that's trying to help you.
Yeah, so I walk by faith, not by sight. I think I think the Georgia game needs to stay on the schedule.
I think Murray State. Go on from there. We're not missing any obvious ones, right?
We're spending the rest of the show on this.
And we're not missing any obvious ones, right, in terms of their non-conference. We know about Atlantis. We're setting that to the side. You get that event. It comes down to Georgia-Murray State, doesn't it? There's nothing better than those two, right, after those initial three?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's it.
Because UAB, right? Is that still on there? I want to tell you it is, but I wish it was.
So I wrote this down yesterday. So Murray State, the battle for Atlantis, which includes Duke, Ohio State, Creighton, among others. You got that baked in, right? Auburn,
of course.
Tennessee, at Ole Miss, at Georgia.
That's them. So we'll just fight over Murray State and Georgia.
Yeah, because the AAC is considering a 20-game double round robin format schedule.
Right.
Now, that's not done yet, but we're assuming that's the way.
And would lock in first year here. We're talking about first. That's happening this year in this season, we're saying. From everything, all the speculation, the reports, right? That's now.
Yes. So,
okay, well, that cuts you down on what you can do in the non-con and how many options you got. You're going to have to cut somebody.
Cut
something loose.
So there you have it. That is the interesting news from yesterday. Maximum games. Minimum games is 13.
You can get in most of your season, Philly, if you get 27 games. Then.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Preseason practices can start October the 14th. 30 practices permitted over the 42 days before the start of the season.
Well, we'll have a special in-studio guest as practice begins. Look at the surprise on that man's face, on his young shaven face today, looking a couple years younger. Special guest wants
to come.
I don't
think we're allowed to have.
Hey, I said we could be in a different place then, or because this guest is so special just for that day, we'll put you on that side of the glass again. We'll make it real easy on you. I know.
Well, no, we have the plexiglass.
When you're doing two
we
jobs.
Have the plexiglass.
We do, but the special guest wants to come in.
Yeah.
And so from that instance, since only two of us can be here, I'm thinking on that day, look how surprised you are by this. I'll keep it ready for you. Around the start of Memphis practice, special guest wants to come into the studio.
Okay.
And we'll have to make some moves.
Keith Lee's coming in.
Keith Lee. I wish.
For protocol, I'll still be here.
That's what I'm saying. Brad can just step out
for one room.
He can set everything up for you, John, so you're not working double duty here, and we'll make it nice and easy for you, because I'm telling you, you're gonna enjoy the special guest in studio if we do
as a spectator.
See, I've already got the plan. Even if this is all we can do, it probably will be. We only have two in the studio divided by plexiglass. The special guest will still be able to be in here. You'll be on the other side.
You'll only have to hit like two buttons
that day.
That's it. Yeah.
We'll make it nice and
easy for you. It'll
be
on a tee for you, brother.
We'll work it out.
You look concerned.
We'll work it out.
Okay.
I'll talk to the agent.
But anyway, there you have it. The men's basketball season appears to be set. And in 12 weeks, by the way, not 12 weeks, but 12 hours, teams are going to get per week in between strength, conditioning, and skill instruction. between September 21st and October 30th. And I know that is definitely good news for Penny Hardaway and those guys down there because they want all the time they can get.
Now, I've been holding my breath waiting on this recruiting news from you because it feels like it's big.
Oh, you want to get to it in the open.
Oh, you want to hope keep people hanging?
Well, we can talk about it. I did get it. And I thought it was. I did think
what's
it
the
was.
News?
I did think it was actually pretty significant.
I guess John wants me to keep teasing it before he gets it out.
Yeah,
but
I'm
there's
interested
a five
in hearing
star,
what it is.
There's a five-star prospect, obviously.
Who I love.
We knew that part already.
Yeah.
But who apparently really loves Memphis.
Well, so
which feels more important to me.
The kid's name is Sky Clark.
Yes.
Five-star guard in 2022. He's at Brentwood. There was a thought that maybe he would come to Memphis for his for this season. I guess he'd be a junior.
Which seemed weird because he hasn't played at Brentwood yet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so and he's not.
Okay.
He'll be at Brentwood.
That's what I thought. But
Memphis is in his top four.
Uh-huh.
This is a kid who I've seen him, you know, a couple of times. You watch him. It's the presence. It's just his presence with the ball in his hands, right? Chris Paul-esque. I don't throw comparisons around. I mean, ask anybody around the city, right, that knows basketball. They will tell you, like, this kid has – that kind of ability. Great playmaker, great attitude, super coachable.
Sky with two Ys, by the way.
That's right, two Ys. His dad is Kenneth Clark, former Minnesota Vikings wide receiver, played with Randy Moss.
I remember I had a couple catches against the Bears, I believe.
So he comes from an athletic background, mm-hmm. right? He comes from a professional background. Anyway, Memphis is in his top four, along with North Carolina, Kentucky. I'm forgetting the fourth one, but
it's probably Duke.
It may be Duke.
He's the best of the best.
But anyway, last night Memphis had a Zoom call with Scott Clark, this young man, and it's UCLA. UCLA is
My bad.
It was a good guess.
John, he's 22. Is he class 22? Okay, he's a current junior.
He may reclass. We shall see. But yes,
it's already hot and heavy after him, Brett. Everybody.
Memphis had a Zoom call with him last night, and his dad. I texted his dad about it, and his dad said it went great. And I even had a conversation with his dad back when they were here in Memphis in July for that event with Hoop City, and he even told me then Memphis is at the top of the list, and I believe that's still true. I think it's actually even more true after last night.
It's because of Penny. Because of point guard position?
I think Penny is doing a hell of a job on this recruitment. You know, a lot of people have just assumed that he's going to Kentucky or not Memphis. But I actually do believe that Memphis is very relevant in this recruitment. Like, this is not window dressing for Memphis being on this top four, right? Like, there are some times when you see Memphis on a list and you're just like, okay, they're not getting this kid. This is a favor or whatever. But I actually believe they have a chance with this kid.
Well, there's an obvious question that I think most would ask. Right now, as you mentioned, it's for 2022, right?
Yes.
What is he? Because you've got a point guard committed for 2022 in Artario Morris, no?
He can be whatever you want him to be.
Sky is a combo.
I think Sky is a point guard.
Sky's a point guard. Artario's a point guard.
Well, Artario, I think you can.
Oh, they're both.
Well, I think they're interchangeable, right?
And more importantly, you think that's what they're thinking.
I think
that's
Sky and Artario Morris can absolutely play together.
Okay.
This is just, again, you got to understand, this is just sort of a framework, right?
Sure.
But Dame.
And we're talking about 2022.
Dame and CJ kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, two ball dominant guys, but they can work together. And I absolutely, I mean, because.
Sky 6'3"?
6'2", 6'3". I mean, he's on the smaller side.
What is Artario?
6'4". 6'4". He's a little rangier than Sky is.
Okay.
He's bigger.
Okay.
You can play him at the two.
I think Penny's done with the whole, you know, two small ones, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah, no, Artario's a little
but
bit
bigger.
But
he gives you more size, more like a ball.
More length.
Okay.
And Morris is done, right? He's in.
Oh,
he's
committed, yeah. I mean, we're talking a while down. So
okay.
it's just a verbal commitment. It's not a signing.
Yeah, I mean, Artario,
that's
you know, Artario is a little bit more of a rangier athlete, a little bit longer.
No, that works with what they're doing.
I mean, Sky is not a guy who you watch and you're just overwhelmed athletically by, right? Like, he's just not – that's not his game. But he's quick. The ball's on a string.
When you say it's the IQ.
Great decision maker. Right. Smart. Great kid.
Well, sounds like a point guard, John.
Yeah, I want to say like he organized something there in Nashville, like a march or something along those lines. Like he's a very Yeah, cleanup. He organized a cleanup.
Oh, we had him on, didn't we? We were both impressed.
Yeah, so how about this? How about that? This kid is 16, 17 years old, okay?
And in June. He blew us away in the interview.
In June.
I think I remember that.
He organized a cleanup in downtown Nashville after the protest.
Good for him.
At 16.
That's amazing.
What the hell were we doing at 16? I can tell you we weren't going downtown to clean
not
up.
Not that.
You know, he's new to Nashville too. Isn't
he's
he?
Brand new.
Because that's what I'm saying. That's not his born. That's not his birthplace.
Yep. He was impressive. Sky Clark had a pressure washer and a hand brush in his hand and was removing graffiti in downtown Nashville. I mean, a very, very impressive young man.
We knew that, but you're right. You're just adding to it. We had him on. I remember being super impressed by just his maturity seemed to be beyond his age.
Yep. He said, I want to see change. I'm about peace, love, and unity.
Well, then he shows it again there.
So, you know, for Memphis, obviously.
That sounds like a leader.
He's become a priority. And let me be clear about this. Anytime Kentucky and North Carolina are involved, you got a long road, right? And it's a mountain to climb. But I definitely believe Memphis is relevant in that recruitment. Zoom call went really well last night. And however you want to do it, right, however you want to Sky is a guy who you just put in and you figure the rest out later because he is going to make his teammates better. Like, I watched him play and I said, wherever this kid goes, he's going to win a championship because that's just how – that's the vibe he gives off. There are guys who, you know, who want to score. J.D. Davison, to me, is that guy. Like, he wants to get his. Sky wants to win. He wants to make the team better. He wants to make his team – put his guys in – like, I mean, again, when you're watching a freaking pickup all-star game with high school kids – you know, most of them just want to score and get on YouTube or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, Sky Clark is, like, trying to make the right play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, already.
In a freaking
– usually you got to teach that.
In a pickup game.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it would be a huge gift for Memphis if they were able to pull it off. Obviously not going to be easy, but they're in there.
They've been super effective recruiting down a man.
They have.
On the staff.
That they have.
What's your gut tell you about what he's going to do? It's with the time you're going to start.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's this huge pressing need to get one in there. Otherwise, you probably already would. No, they're not getting Nolan Smith. That going to be a deal where he like rolls with two?
Oh, I mean,
you had mentioned that. That's the only reason I bring it up again.
I mean, it was talked about earlier in the summer. You know. I'm assuming Penny's got somebody, whether it's here or the program. I mean,
it's just a matter of announcing it.
The list of candidates was quite impressive. Like I said, even some former friends of this show.
Have been told they didn't get the gig.
I don't know if every single
person. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if every single person has been told.
I doubt that.
But I do know that several were. But I can't imagine, why would you tell some? And now, if you interview 16, I guess you can eliminate 12, but.
It might be you got finalists.
Right. So that remains to be seen.
Okay. College basketball.
But college basketball is back.
Memphis.
Want
to play Murray State. John want to play Georgia. That's pretty much where it's at right now. I'm going to get 7 in non-conference, it sounds like.
Yeah. Well, how about this?
And Battle of Atlantis, still Sioux Falls, or is that still up in the air?
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things where it is.
Is that whole thing still in the air?
Well, it probably will happen, but it's not done. Like, a lot of people have been saying, like, it's done. I don't think it's done.
Okay.
But it probably will happen there in Sioux Falls, which to me is an underrated part of the country.
To the point about going back to what your schedule can be, if you do not get that for whatever reason, still can just do the 4 non-conference?
Well, here's what's interesting, Jason.
Can you go up should you not be involved in that?
Well, it
sounds like it gives you the ability to do the tournament if you'd like and – here's the limit on non-con, but is it? Is it a situation where you could go up? Maybe we don't have the answers to that yet.
I don't think anybody has the answers to that. But I did also remember, didn't the Holiday Hoop Fest say they wanted to create their own bubble?
Yes.
With playing multiple games?
Didn't they?
And Memphis only right now is playing Auburn as a part of that, I believe. So what happens then? You just say, we can't play more because we have a maximum and we're not going to not play in the battle for Atlantis. I mean, that's a loaded-ass field,
If Atlantis
too.
Goes down, it trumps everything you do.
Well, Atlantis is going to happen.
I mean, it's going to have to because the team's involved, right?
I don't think you can expand,
everybody sees
though.
That as an opportunity.
You can't play more than, you know.
No, I'm saying if you didn't do Atlantis, which we're saying right now is a trump card, we think it's going to happen.
Oh, at that point,
but if
point,
it didn't, could you expand on the other one? Absolutely you could by what the parameters are giving you.
Right, but that's also a loaded field, too, there. The teams that are playing in the Hoop Fest.
I thought that those were just going to be a one-off.
No, they were talking about how
making it a tournament. Yes.
Getting everybody down there and
making it a bubble and a tourney.
So it's gonna be a weird year, man. It's gonna be strange.
Well, so Penny's over there like picking games. Like which ones are my going to
Did you not see the
off,
did you not see the video
off.
From Boynton
I'm
at
sorry?
Oklahoma State? He did like this fake press conference with his players and they're asking him all these questions about the schedule. Who are you gonna play? I don't know. Next question. When are you going to start?
Well, I imagine there, a I bunch know, of college basketball yeah. coaches I mean, are in that position now, but they're figuring out today and going.
Right. Now you start to sort of put the pieces together. You have to eliminate games. You got to make those tough decisions where you call.
Tom Crean.
I don't know.
I'm sorry.
He ain't the first call. You got to call Mississippi Valley State.
Who's my Murray State coach?
Matt McMahon.
Look at you.
I mean, because only we had him on the he's been on the station about 50 times, you know, since they drafted Ja. So I don't know. You call Mississippi Valley State, you call the bye games, right? And you have to say we can't play, and they don't get the money either.
That's what's a shame.
Because you know, and you can't even. You
so
can't,
how in the world are they gonna pay for testing those schools that don't get their bye game money? That money they get from those bye games so important to their whole entire athletic departments. How in the world are they not gonna get left behind?
It's a hell of a question. And I don't know. I don't know
if they're not getting their bye game money.
Yeah,
that's oof. This is a situation where you appreciate being one of the halves.
Well, you would say
it's
you probably have to play a season because you still get an automatic qualifier to the NCAA tournament, and those units for your conference are still worth it. You still get a guaranteed team in the tournament every single year, no matter what, right? And then what if one of those teams?
Yeah, but are they going to have the resources? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, you just find them. You got to furlough everybody, but you find them. You have to because you have to get that money from the tournament, man. You got to. You can't just sit out. And not, because you guarantee as a league you got a berth.
Yeah, I just don't see 351 or 53, whatever it is, teams playing, getting all the way through. I mean, there's some of those situations, dude, it's already dire in terms of finances.
No, it's
don't have the money for testing,
it's
then you start
situation.
Cutting corners. That can make it worse.
Yeah. Anyway,
there's still a lot to figure out, but at least we know a lot more.
Yeah, indeed. We will start to sort of put the pieces together in the coming days. And weeks. All right, we will come back. John Clayton's going to join us on the show. We'll talk NFL with him. Week one in the books. Week two gets underway tonight with the Browns and the Bengals. What a stinker.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a stinker. You got two
Baker Mayfield better win. That's the point. If the Browns are who they say they are, this better be they better show well tonight. You better not lose to a rookie quarterback.
How about this? So before we get to John Clayton, real quick, somebody said on Twitter that we should do away with Thursday night football and just do doubleheaders on Monday night going forward. Are you in favor or no? Thursday night football sucks. Like, it's never good.
Oh, isn't it just kind of...
It's never... Nobody wants to play out there. They don't put good teams on Thursday night. They put the Bengals and the Browns on Thursday night.
I mean,
the Chargers and the Dolphins.
For the opener, we saw KC Houston. It was okay.
Oh, that was the opener. That doesn't count. That was on NBC.
There's an NBA game tonight it's going head-to-head with, right?
Yeah.
It's going to get crushed.
Historically, it's been bad.
Yes.
I like having football on three different nights. Excuse me. It's a bad – but it doesn't always have to be a bad game. I know the players players can't stand it, to the side.
Because it messes your whole equilibrium up.
Oh, no question about it. And you got a short week.
Yep.
You got a short week. Either you play on Sunday at noon, it's still a short week in terms of getting prepped to go get hit again. That said, dude – I take football home 5 days of the week if I could get it. Are you kidding me? NFL? Put it on every day of the week.
Man, give Jason some.
Stretch him out.
Give Jason some football and some Murray State basketball, and he is just happy. Happy, happy.
I'll tell you what, we'll never have Coach McMahon on way you talk so bad about them. Just give me Tom Crean and a tournamentless team, Georgia team, and walk them on in.
Tom Crean was an analyst for ESPN, all right? So we need him.
We loved him. He was great in between the during the Tubby time.
I don't know if you saw how it went. He may be there once again someday soon.
I think so.
So we may need him in the future. So I'm just trying to keep that relationship.
They were not good last year with Anthony Edwards.
That's what I'm saying. He may be back in that booth.
So how many of those dudes are back besides Anthony?
I have no idea.
Better be a lot of them. What are you talking?
Anyway, John Clayton on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Then Jeff Calkins mornings. Jason and John middays. Giannotto and Jeffrey. Then Gary Parish afternoons. The Titans, the Bulls, the NFL, the SEC, Tigers talk. This is the Mid-South's biggest sports station and the number one place for sports in Memphis. Live on the radio.com app with Rewind, where you can always rewind and listen to our local shows like a DVR. Alexa and smart speakers say, play 92.9 ESPN.
92.9 ESPN. ESPN from radio.com.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. If you're average and you're looking for a new pair of running or walking shoes, I suggest you go to an average shoe store. where they'll sell you a pair of average shoes built for the average athlete with average size feet. But here's the thing. You're not average. No one is. We all exercise differently, we run differently, and walk differently, and our feet come in all sorts of widths and lengths. That's why, at the New Balance Memphis store, we employ fit specialists who will conduct an in-depth analysis of your foot's size and shape, along with your gait, and then determine the best New Balance shoes custom fit to you. Because New Balance isn't your average shoe, and you're not average either. Experience the difference an unaverage custom fit makes today at the New Balance Memphis store, located in Cordova Shopping Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are wrong, and all the right ways are
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
The motto for world-class competition has always been faster, higher, stronger. It's the same for Navien, makers of condensing tankless water heaters. Faster to install and set up. Higher performance and efficiency to provide endless hot water. Stronger with the industry's strongest warranty. All because of the copper-free stainless steel heat exchanger built in every unit. Learn about Navien's condensing tankless water heaters and find a Navien contractor at tanklessmadesimple.com. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
John Clayton writes about the NFL for the Washington Post. Read his stuff at WashingtonPost.com. He's got 5 big takeaways from week 1 of the NFL season, and he joins us now. Hey, John, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time.
Doing well. How about you?
Everything is good here in Memphis. So which 40-year-old quarterback are you more concerned about this season? Drew Brees got the win, but he did not look great in it. You know, obviously we know Tom Brady threw a pick six. Which quarterback in their 40s do you feel better about for 16 weeks?
I still think that both are going to do well because both are going to be able to make the playoffs. I think that the fact that Drew Brees was able to get 34 points, I know special teams was a big part of that, but be able to get them against a good Bucs defense, I thought that was good enough. And so I think both are going to be fine, but I think what it shows is that people were overhyping Tampa Bay, thinking they were going to be better than the Saints, and now what they find out is that the Saints remain the most talented team in the NFC. Now the question is going to be, with Michael Thomas having the high ankle sprains, how do you try to recompensate the 11.6 targets a game that he gets and the 150 catches he gets in a season? And you know, high ankle sprain could be 4 to 6 weeks. So John Payton was asked about it today, and he basically didn't answer. I'm not talking about injuries. So you can see there's definite concern there. But in the long run, both teams, I think, are going to make the playoffs.
Is Brett Favre right, John, that it's dangerous or concerning for Bruce Arians to be calling out Tom publicly after that loss? Or are we too worried about the density of Tom's skin here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's not the right thing to do. But that's Bruce. I mean, Bruce Arians is one that's not going to mince words. He's going to definitely try to make sure that you know, things get right. But you know, that could hurt because hey, Tom Brady. I know he stuck with Bill Belichick for 20 years, but certainly some of those internal meetings wore on him to a point where it's like, okay, how many more negative things do I have to hear in this building trips to the Super Bowl every other year, and I won 6. So it's not a wise thing to do. But again, mm-hmm. You know, I think Tom's going to put it behind him because, you know, I'm sure things were even worse, you know, dealing sometimes with Bill.
Bill Belichick, in a very sort of rare situation, praised Russell Wilson today and called him underrated. And it is amazing. You look up last week, he's got 4 touchdowns, and you want to talk about a guy whose weapons just – you know, are average year in and year out, and yet he still delivers. You know, is Russell Wilson underrated? I mean, he was at one point the highest paid quarterback, if he's not anymore, but at one point he was. Is he underrated to you?
I think maybe in some regards, but I think that he's now getting the full benefit of where he is, because I think most people think, you know, the top two quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. And so what you're looking at is that, you know, he's now past some of the older quarterbacks that he was trailing. You know, it was always kind of a battle each year on the fourth or fifth best quarterback, whether it was going to be Drew Brees or whether it's going to be Russell Wilson. But now he's evolved to the point where he keeps getting better each year. You can see how good he is. The talent that he has is better than people give recognition to, because, you know, here's Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Yep. They both were voted in the top 100 in the NFL's vote for the NFL Network, and that was by the players. And DK Metcalf is getting so much better, and Tyler Lockett is a borderline Pro Bowl player.
They're the class of that division, right, John? Especially with what we saw with San Francisco. I don't want to overreact to 1 week. But the Cardinals look good in beating them. Is it Seattle's division to lose?
I think so right now, because, you know, and that was the thought going into the season. Okay, if Seattle passed the 49ers for talent, and most people would not go that way. Right. They would still stay with the 49ers. But here's where the difference is that the injuries, and you talk about the Super Bowl hangover. To me, it's a Super Bowl migraine. Because, you know, they've lost most of their receivers. They've had to put five guys on injured reserve. They didn't have Brandon Ayuk for the first game because of a hamstring injury. It looks like he's going to be back now. And then you look at the cornerback problems that they have. Richard Sherman goes on IR. They have right now a concussion issue with Othello Witherspoon. You know, Jason Verrett, who's always hurt, has a hamstring injury. So they're decimated at two key positions. And so right now I think you can see that Seattle does have the edge.
We are, of course, talking to John Clayton, writes about the NFL for the Washington Post. Cam Newton it certainly was the talk of week one, sort of recaptured a little bit of the old Cam on the ground. You know, he was not exactly the most explosive passer on Sunday, but he did certainly get in the end zone a couple of times on the ground. Can he do that for 16 weeks and hold up, and do you expect Bill Belichick to use him that way?
I think they've got to kind of watch that, because, you know, I know that they'll be varied and they're going to be a running team, and I think that they want it to be a running team once they got rid of Tom Brady, or once Tom Brady left. But now what you have to worry about is that, you know, can he hold up at 15 carries a game? And I'd say no. One of the problems he has, because he's so big and so powerful, he tries to overdo it. You know, crunch through the linebacker, and that's led to the shoulder problems and the injuries over the last couple of years. So they're not going to be a passing offense. They're going to be a running offense, but I think they have to tone it down a little bit, or they're going to lose them, particularly in a game coming up on Sunday night, because if he's going to be running in the middle of the field, I mean, he can get destroyed by Jamal Adams, or he can get destroyed by Quandre Diggs and put himself in a position like he's been in the last couple of years of missing games with injuries.
John, do you see Clowney making a big difference for Tennessee? He had three tackles, I think a quarterback hit in their win over the Broncos. Is that going to be a big impact guy for them this year?
I watched them all last year, and he was a big impact guy for Seattle, even though he didn't get the sacks. And certainly getting together with Mike Vrabel, who, you know, together when he was a defensive coordinator down in Houston, you know, three Pro Bowls with Clowney. So I'd say yes, because he's still one of the top seven edge rushers in the game. Even though he doesn't get the sacks, he's a disruptive force. So he may not get the 10 sacks. He's never done that in his career, but he's going to disrupt things.
You know, my partner and I argued over this, and you wonder how much time do you spend on the kicking game. But do you think it was the right move to keep Gostkowski with sort of, you know, his resume, what he'd done, and his relationship, obviously, with Vrabel? Not to mention, kicking around the league was pretty awful for week one. Was it the right move for the Titans to keep Stephen Gostkowski?
Basically, they had no choice, because he got a $2.75 million one-year contract. And by kicking in that game and playing in that game, you know, he gets that full guarantee. Mm-hmm. You know, so all of a sudden, I know they have good cap room right now, but you lose too much if you do that. And then who do you go to as the next one? Because they've been going through kickers now for, the last year or
right.
two. So I think you have to stand by him.
You look at that AFC South, and you thought, you know, maybe Phil Rivers in Indianapolis would challenge Tennessee. You know, maybe Deshaun Watson there in Houston with the sort of revamped offense and all those new weapons. But, I mean, was there anything from the Houston Texans on Thursday or from Indianapolis on Sunday that made you think that there's going to be any real competition in that division?
Well, I thought that the Colts with Phillip Rivers would jump to 11 wins. I didn't anticipate that they're going to lose to a bad Jacksonville team, and the defense just gave up too much. And I think whatever it was, they were out of sync. You know, out of sync in the standpoint that, you know, all you had was Phillip Rivers throwing to the running backs. All you had was the the defense giving up the short passes. So there's a lot of things that they've got to fix in Indy. I still believe that Indy can win a division, but what I'm looking at right now is that there's going to be, a challenge right now. But Tennessee now looks to be the best team in the division, and getting Clowney makes them that much better.
I don't know where you are on this one, John, but I've sort of circled the Steelers as the third best team in the AFC. You know, Big Ben's healthy, and we'll see what happens at running back. But Juju finally looks like the kind of guy who's going to step into that WR1 role and can be that without AB. The defense, we know, is going to be the defense. What did you think of Pittsburgh's debut there on Monday, and do you think they can be the third best team in the AFC?
Yeah, I think that they're definitely going to be one of the most improved teams, because what you're looking at is that you got Ben back, you got a top five defense, they can create turnovers, they can put points on the board. And so, no, I would agree. And the question is going to be, how close can they come to the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs? You know, what's favorable is that both Baltimore and Pittsburgh have the easiest schedules in the National Football League. And so, you got Ben going against a lot of young quarterbacks and a lot of teams that aren't going to be very good. And so with that in mind, I think that you can see advantage going to Pittsburgh, maybe getting to 12 wins.
You talked about Pittsburgh being one of the most improved. Do you think the Eagles could be one of the most disappointing? Are they in trouble, John? They gave up 8 sacks against Washington. They got Aaron Donald and the Rams coming in this Sunday. And then after the Bengals, it's Steelers and Ravens. What's Philly looking like this year?
I think that's going to be tough, because this is kind of a breakup year for them, because they've got an older roster. They're down 3 starters on the offensive line with injuries. They hope to get Lane Johnson back this week. But, you go into a game against a team like the Redskins that have 5 first-round picks in the last 5 years from the defensive line. Now you're going to be in trouble, and they were. And so they've got to really worry that this could be a big drop-off, and they also have to worry about getting Carson Wentz injured.
Yep. And then what did you think about Joe Burrow's debut? Obviously made the mistake, the interception on the shovel pass, but led them back down later, bounced back from that, and should have had a game-tying field goal. What did you think of Burrow's debut?
I thought he did very well. And, in fact, it looked like he should have had that touchdown at the end to win the game.
On the call.
But it was just called the wrong way for Cincinnati. But overall, I thought he did well. And that's a good start for a quarterback as a rookie to get the opportunity with no preseason games and no offseason to do that well. I thought was exceptional.
Agreed.
Hey, John, man, we appreciate the time.
Thank
as
you, sir.
Always. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
He is John Clayton, writes about the NFL for the Washington Post. It was interesting today to hear Bill Belichick, who was typically not a guy who
so complimentary.
Yeah, he doesn't even get into those conversations, right? Like, he doesn't even get into the who's underrated, who's old. Like, he's above it, right? Like, but maybe now that Tom's gone, he's evolving.
He basically called him the best in the league.
Yeah,
said there's nobody out there better, and obviously you got Patrick Mahomes sitting there.
Yep.
But does he not do a little bit of buttering up beforehand of the best player on the other team?
Yeah, he might.
No, you're right. I mean,
he doesn't get into the media sort
no,
of side
into,
of it.
Into that side of things. But he basically called him the best quarterback in the league, and he looked like it.
Yeah.
In that first game, threw to 9 different receivers. I think only missed 4 passes that entire game. And Jonathan, I think Clayton's right on the question you asked. DK Metcalf looks real.
Yeah.
Right. And Lockett, if he's healthy, I mean, their weapons are better than people give him credit for. It's not just Russell out there running with a bunch of scrubs.
Well, I mean,
DK looks for real, for real.
Eventually, they did get him some weapons.
Right.
But I'm just saying, for the majority of his career.
Oh, no doubt.
Who's he had?
But now you put him with some weapons, looks like maybe some proven ones.
Who's the best receiver he's had there in Seattle?
It may be DK. I mean, Tyler Lockett, from a grind standpoint, right? Always, we get
from
open.
A grind, and,
because he's not a star, right? He's not a. You wouldn't call him a regular, somebody that most teams would crave for their WR1 to the phrase that. RB1.
John, who's your RB1 this week?
That's what you said about Juju, right? The WR,
yes.
With Jack. I love the way you just dropped that in there. It's still uncomfortable
it was good.
For
it was
me
slick.
To say. See, I don't think most teams would think of Tyler as that. He's more of a grind guy. He's more of a two.
Baldwin probably was his best.
That's awful if we're saying Baldwin
was
the best.
Well, Doug Baldwin is third all-time in franchise history.
I don't think I realized it was that.
Show
third all-time
respect.
In franchise history for what?
Receiving.
Yards?
Yeah, receiving yards. He is third behind.
Good grief, that's awful.
Steve
Largent. I know who number
and
one is.
Who's number two? He played
Baldwin
from,
is three?
He played from 88 to 98. Who's number two?
88 to 98 Seattle receiver.
He has a. I'm gonna tell you. I'll give you a hint. His name sounds like it would be a male performer.
It slips my mind. I should.
Brian Blades.
I think about Benny Blades, the safety. I think was his brother. I don't know. I forgot all about Brian Blades. He's number two in receiving yards.
Yep.
They have had no weapons.
Yep.
Baldwin is number three all time.
He is, and he is number two all time. Doug Baldwin is in touchdowns. Did you know that?
And maybe it's the non-sexy Baldwin I'm thinking about in terms of Tyler Lockett.
But here's how bad it is. Tyler Lockett's already in the top 10.
That's what I thought.
He's already in the top 10.
DK Metcalf going to go down as their best because Steve Largent, what he didn't – he won't get Steve Largent numbers probably. I mean, just the way of the world now. But in terms of physical dominant receiver, if that dude stays healthy, he's going to end up being their best.
Here's how bad it is. Jimmy Graham was there for 2 years, and he's in the top 16.
Well, that's awful.
With 2,000-something yards.
They've been running back you there for a while, right? Curtis Alexander.
No, Sean.
Sean Alexander, yeah. Excuse me. I'm thinking about the Whitehaven running back.
Yeah, well, who would forget the Whitehaven running back?
He was a stud.
Curtis Alexander.
Marshawn,
yeah.
Yes.
And still, I mean, they're still a run-first offense.
Chris
really.
Carson?
Yeah, I mean, they still want to run the ball down your throat.
I think the man threw it 35. He was 31-35 in that game, Russell Wilson, 322, talking about they want to run it down your throat.
Well, I'm just saying they're a physical, smash-mouth team. That's kind of who they are. That's their identity.
RB1?
RB1, baby.
Chris Carson?
He's an RB1. Throw me a player, I'll tell you what they are. Give me a name. Go.
Benny Snell Jr.
RB3.
He's RB2 now, isn't he?
He might be RB1 in that offense.
Because of Connor.
Yeah.
Looking terrible.
Give me another one.
Howard.
In Miami?
Yeah.
RB0. Get him off the roster. He's trash.
Okay.
I mean, he can't. Come on. He can't.
James White.
He's an RB2. He's a nice change of pace back. You bring him in third down situations.
Anthony Miller.
WR2.
Already proven it to you.
Good WR2. A solid WR2.
And Allen Robinson, who deserves the money. Real WR1?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. I mean, I get the respect.
I believe he was the youngest Pro Bowler in history, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, we got to pay that man.
It sounds like y'all are going to do that. But anyway, thanks to John Clayton, who is a radio guest one.
No doubt about it.
Thanks for joining. Thanks for him coming on the show. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, 92 FM, ESPN.
Everywhere you look these days, things are starting to come back. Football, school, the institutions that make up the fabric of our lives. So there's no better time to come back and visit another enduring Memphis institution, Oak Hall. Seriously, if you haven't been back, stop in and see them today. You'll find the same helpful people and the same beautiful clothing. I know I always feel restored just walking through the place. Pick up some shorts or knit shirts from Peter Millar. Get yourself something for the outdoors. I've loved stopping in at Oak Hall on a fall weekend just to browse. And since you'll likely be watching the football games on TV this year, it's a way of getting a little taste of normal back in your lives. During the last 6 months, I think we've all learned how much relationships matter. Relationships with family and friends, and also with the institutions and places that we hold dear. For a whole lot of Memphians, Oak Hall is one of those places. So stop in and see your old friends sometime soon.
This is Gary Parrish, host of the Gary Parrish Show for the 8th straight year. Can you believe that? We've been doing this show for 8 years, and the very first company who ever advertised on the show was Cooper Systems. They've never left, and I'll owe Lee and Lauren Cooper forever for that. Anyway, I'm assuming by now you know the basics about Cooper Systems. You need a computer, that's your spot. You need computer repair, that's your spot. But did you know Cooper Systems also offers business networking and IT services for small to medium-sized businesses? It's true, they do. So if your network or server is not performing as well as it should, call Cooper Systems. They can design and troubleshoot your network or server, configure your firewall for maximum security, and improve your wireless network. They can get a certified network engineer out to your site and get you running smoothly again. So remember, if you need servers, business class workstations, routers, firewalls, laptops, desktops, Microsoft software licensing, Apple products, virus removal, anything, Cooper Systems is your spot. That is Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679 on the web, coopersystems.com.
I'm listening daily. You are not alone. During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. Here's licensed therapist Dr. Christine Moutier on ending the stigma of talking about mental health.
The way the culture is changing around mental health is amazing. There's this open-mindedness now to understand that part of being human is mental health. It's this incredible, I would say, just like a burgeoning area where we can all learn how that works for us and for our loved ones so that we can just be so much smarter. We can take the stigma out of the whole conversation, let alone if we need treatment. You know, one in four Americans has a mental health condition. And yet, right now, less than half of those Americans with mental health conditions are seeking treatment. So we're not acting as smart as we can be about our mental health.
Join us September 23rd for the two-hour I'm Listening special with members of Cage the Elephant, Katy Perry, Luke Combs, Waka Flocka Flame, Jon Bon Jovi, medical experts, and more. For details, visit imlistening.org.
Pass it on.
Here's a short quiz. Who won Best Actress last year? Who won the World Series 2 years ago? And finally, name your favorite teacher.
Pass it on.
Now, I'm guessing that the last question was the easiest. Why is that? Because that person made a difference in your life. So, go ahead and make a difference. Because making a difference is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
We on fire.
Step up in the party, step up in the party, ha, ha.
We on fire.
Right up to the party, right up to the party, ha, ha.
Nice seeing those teams back out on the gridiron over the weekend. Lucky for us, that was just week one. No better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings. They're the leader in one-day fantasy sports. So to add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, what are you waiting on, man? Head on over to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. It's very easy. You just pick your lineup. You stay under the salary cap. And you see how your team stacks up against the competition. You get the controller. And nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at $1 million plus in prizes. They paid out billions of dollars, DraftKings has, to winners since 2012, so they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. So download the DraftKings app now. Use code WMFS. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. So don't miss out on the week two action. Enter code WMFS to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code WMFS only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. You know, every time we have Ryan McDonough on the show, he tells us it's like Christmas morning, right? Kind of it's kind of his go-to.
We got two games.
Right. whatever the day is, it's like Christmas.
Good energy.
It's like it's Christmas morning.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro. I love his energy.
Yeah.
Positive.
Every day is Christmas morning. And you know what?
How it feels working with you, John.
Same thing.
I respect it. But it really must have felt like that with you, Jason, yesterday.
Oh, I see what you did there.
It must have really felt like
that.
You know,
I was disappointed we didn't get to this story, John, yesterday.
It was a busy day.
It was a busy day. But this would have fallen right in line with some of the things I've been saying, or at least I wanted to be the first to say. Mark Gasol. Brad, maybe you have some Grim Reaper music, as John likes to call me when it comes to Mark Gasol's career. Now, the man is 35. But did you see the report from Sportando yesterday? When I showed it to John, I guess he's saying I look like a little kid at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And that would sound like I'm a Gasol bro. Like I'm rooting against.
You are a Gasol bro.
Like I'm rooting for him to retire and for his career to be over.
You're a Gasol bro.
The news from Sportando, not that he's retiring, but that he is reportedly considering a return to Europe. Now, this came from Xavier Sasso Garcia of Radio Ser Catalunya.
Oh, no.
Saying that Spanish center Marc Gasol is considering a return to Europe for family reasons. And keep in mind, this is a Marc Gasol who will be 36, next January? And when are we starting the season, John?
Who knows?
Around that time or not? It won't be much before that.
Yeah, we have no
idea.
If
that's the case, he'd be 36 next season. We know, we've talked about this because I put him to bed earlier this week.
It's a good way of putting it.
You put him to bed a long time.
You kind of put him down like a dog.
He's
almost
a free agent. He's done in terms of with Toronto for the money that he was on. That contract is now over.
Mm.
And so doesn't it make a lot of sense? Now, this wouldn't qualify as a retirement, but doesn't it make a lot of sense, John, to go back and play some of the beautiful game back at home? You're closer to family. This a way to do it at 36 years old, where you could be effective over there, still be effective. Obviously, a star for the Spanish national team. Doesn't it make a lot of sense to sort of finish it off this way as opposed to hanging on to some team for $8 million a year and rarely being called on? Because, again, there aren't many times next season at 36 where teams are going to need a 275, 300-pound center.
I don't know why you keep trying to make that man
there might
be 300 pounds.
Dude, they list him at 255. When was the last time Mark was 255?
It's not recent.
I got to tell you.
I mean, he did. I guess there was
weight,
a one point he
weight,
got skinny.
His weight does fluctuate.
He ain't 255.
Hey, raise your hand if that's not you, too.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, that's
I'm really fluctuating now.
Yeah, I'm way up and down.
But back to it. Maybe not the end that I'm calling, but a beautiful ending. And I would be just fine with this, John. It's basically the same thing I'm saying. We don't need to see 36-year-old Marc Gasol in the league next season. Again, wasting away on somebody's bench, not really helping. You got the ring. It was a beautiful thing. Bring him back here.
Right.
Retire him as a Grizzly. And then send him off to Europe.
You would like him to go to FIBA. You'd like him to head over there.
I think that's actually a smart move to play it out that way because the dude can still be effective over there playing. That's his style of basketball, the beautiful game.
Yes.
And Lord knows his people know how to play it beautifully, right? The Spanish.
That's right.
Yes, they do. And so this makes more sense to me. And no, I wasn't really a kid on Christmas when I saw the news. But I could see it going this way was my point to John.
Yeah.
This would be an honorable ending, would it not?
I think it would be overall.
I know some people want to see him honorably, being the 12th man on somebody's NBA team, making $8 million a year. But we don't need to see that from Marc Gasol.
Well, here's the truth. It's
a man
always,
who's had an incredible career.
The end is always hard. I mean, it just is. The end for almost,
Brady won't let it end.
Yeah. There's a lot of athletes who just don't know when it's time.
How many other 36-year-olds shining in the NBA? How many other 36-year-old period? 36-year-olds period in
old
the NBA.
NBA
which
players.
Is basically...
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.